O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The opening chapel service of this academic year included a sermon preached from the Book of Lamentations. Perhaps prophetic indeed, it is probably not too far off the mark to suggest any academic year is an extended Lent. When only penitential cries ascend to the throne of God from student and professor alike. But this week, for the fourth year men with call in hand and graduation in sight, the baccalaureate service will no doubt be like a resurrection experience. This week's theme, Cantate, O Sing Unto the Lord a New Song, will no doubt come easy and naturally to you. Not only is the extended joy of Easter, with its emphasis of victory and triumph in Christ's resurrection, pulsing through your veins, but as future pastors with your own ascension in sight, eager anticipation to begin your life of service to Christ's holy bride is now in reach. This week's introit and theme, Cantate, affords me the opportunity, however, while I still have your ear, to consider long and hard the decisions you will be making relative to liturgy, hymn, and music selections. Nowhere will you do more good, and yet will you be more vulnerable, and nowhere can you do more damage in your ministry, save maybe preaching and teaching, than in this controverted arena of the church's public worship life. While I am aware of the dictum based on Augustana 7, that human tradition or rites instituted by men need not be everywhere alike, a sort of liturgical and hymnological First Amendment right, one can speculate whether the reformers would have had second thoughts about putting that exactly in those terms, seeing as worship has denigrated in some circles into an ecclesiastical Grand Ole Opry hour. Nevertheless, this much is undeniably true. The hymns, gentlemen, that you will be choosing and the liturgy you use will shape the faith of your people, maybe more than even all of us realize. What a church believes and confesses is found in its liturgies and hymns. And what you have at your disposal in the hymnody you choose will determine the collective understanding of what it will mean to stand as church in the presence of God and to bear the name of Christ. Without being a fanatic or dictatorial, you are challenged as pastors to give your people hymns they need to sing. And this I submit to you, our Trinitarian hymns and Christological hymns, and not just what they want to sing. And in this, you must love your people, meet them where they're at, and in patience, as shepherd, lead them to the green and fertile grounds of Trinitarian and Christological hymnody. Reverend Richard Resch, who along with the Blessed Virgin made this month's Lutheran witness, makes cogent points in his article in the Lutheran witness that we are inextricably united in the church's worship to the New Testament church in her canticles and early hymns, to the Old Testament in her Psalter, the early church, and on through the hymns and liturgy, and that this all is part of our evangelical Catholic heritage. I personally do not like to step into a church where I get the distinct impression from the music and hymns selected that the collective theology as expressed is 100 years old or less. I would like to think that the worship of the church is as old as the faith of the church. And though while certain forms and musical settings change, the heart of it doesn't. And here, quite honestly, in a major segment of the American church, and increasingly in the American Lutheran church, I discern the drift towards triviality and triteness, a catering to individualism with its Methodistic and Arminian experientialism, and music and hymns as entertainment. And if we treasure, as we ought, the theology of the cross and the Christocentricity with Christ's sacramental presence as a focal point of Lutheran worship, in all its objective and salvific splendor, we will find it inimical to ape the Protestants who have but one sacrament, that of feelings and emotions. This past September, my mother-in-law passed away in Wisconsin of cancer. At her funeral, a DCE intern belted out on his guitar, vis-a-vis John Cougar Mellencamp, a solo rendition of How Great Thou Art, which brought tears to my eyes for reasons other than intended. In truth, it brought out comic relief as I looked to my wife and she looked at me, and we had to bite our lips to keep from laughing. The whole point of it was missed on us. What exactly was the point? Who was he singing to or trying to comfort? It certainly was not us. I'd have loved to have an Easter hymn, something like, I know that my Redeemer lives, or Jesus lives, the victory's won, or something like that. Something with tangible and eternal balm. I do not consider the liturgy or the hymns to be a consumer item, a utilitarian all things to all people good to be marketed. Properly seen, the liturgy and hymns meet people in their cultural habitat and language and seeks to transform them by the gospel. Otherwise, it will be a bottomless pit. The more the church gives away to keep culture happy, the less she will authentically be able to call herself church, at least in the eyes of her Savior. Ultimately, the liturgy and hymns are not putty in our hands to mold, but vice versa. We are shaped by it. I can think of no greater blessing, gentlemen, you as future pastors can be to the church, than by teaching the liturgy and winning especially the young to love it. For what we learn as young is something which we love and which we will later find is easy to sing. We must simply get away from the fun things to sing, the surface knowledge, and go into something deeper and richer. Cantate is a song which endures forever. We sing of the glories of salvation in Christ and are drawn by the mystery of our timeless faith. Drawn together in the Eucharist, today we sing the ancient hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And our ears will hear, as our throats sing and our lips taste, the incarnate salvation in Jesus Christ. And that is the timeless song which will never go out of style. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wisdom and riches and strength and honor and glory and blessing forever and ever. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed his people and leads them to the living fountains of water, where God eternally wipes away all the tears from their eyes. At the table today is perpetual Easter, where our songs, eternal as God and is eternal as his salvation, never fade or diminish, the songs which the church will eternally rejoice in. I wish the Lord's richest blessings to you fourth-year men on your way out as pastors. May God bless the church through you and your ministry. Amen.